Our holy God and eternal, compassionate Father in heaven, thank you for admitting us to come to you through Jesus Christ, your holy Son, our Savior and Redeemer, from our sins, the sins of our families, the sins of our ancestors, the sins of the world present and the sins of the world to come. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bearing all of our suffering. Forgive us all known and unknown iniquities. Heal us from all of the curses and the diseases of sin. And I pray that you redeem our soul daily from destruction known and unknown to us. I pray that your Holy Spirit daily continue to melt us of this world of sin and to mold us in holiness and righteousness, that our heart desire will always be for your deep eternal love, not for the love and the filth of this world. May you deliver us from every evil within and without. And as you have bestowed upon us rich blessings of life through your love, through your mercy and grace sufficient, Lord, it is the desire of our heart to die of self, because the love of self is the root of all of our troubles. May you help us to die and to live, to tell about it. May you help us, Lord, to share every gift of life with those who ask, seek, and knock for the gift and the power of your salvation. Thank you for everyone who was involved at your birth and during your life. Those who have lived a life as human beings, struggling sinners yet sanctioned and hallowed by the Holy Spirit, like Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men and the disciples and Zechariah and Elizabeth and John the Baptist and all of the apostles that came thereafter. I pray, Lord, that our lives be a sweet fragrance of your love in our lives everywhere we are, and may your Holy Spirit come and become our teacher and preacher to convict us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of hope, and to heal us from the inside out as we sit in thy presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I try to examine more and more into the mystery and the meaning of God had to decide to become man. You know, we would look quite silly if we adults tried to pretend that we are little children. Isn't that true? Would really look pretty silly. And it would be quite silly for a child to try to pretend he is an adult. Worse yet, when a man pretend to be a woman, and when a woman pretend to be a man, it is far beyond our human abilities to become anything beside ourselves. And if you look into our lives and lives of children and adults and people of all kinds and races and culture and nationalities, you will only see a big mess. You will only see human beings capable of destroying themselves and destroying others. There is really nothing good in us except that which God had instilled in us. And there are some who have relinquished goodness completely and know nothing about what is good and living the ultimate essence of evil. Jesus made a decision which is beyond my own understanding. Being holy and perfect in righteousness, in love, blameless, sinless, infant in light and glory, made the decision to come on this sinful planet to become man. Just pause for a second. As I shared some of those examples at the beginning, Jesus had to bear the filthy nature of every child and every adult in the flesh. When you hear that, that Jesus came and have borne the filthy, sinful behavior and attitude and nature of every human being, in order to go through all of the trials and temptations for every human being and completely prevail on over every sin and temptation on behalf of every child and every adult through every generation, and completely prevail over sin and over temptation and over Satan, and in the process, think of that. You know, they in the past wrongly told the world that AIDS is a homosexual disease.
Not true.
And we know that AIDS have afflicted homosexual, heterosexual, bisexual, all kinds of people, even children who were born to parents who had AIDS. There is suffering, agonizing suffering for every sin. And you know, think of the emotion when someone is told you have cancer. Think of the emotion when someone is told you have a tumor in the brain, a mass on your brain. All of this suffering on earth because of sin and sinful human decisions, prompted by Satan, the author of sin, suffering, and death, Jesus had to experience in his holy body, in his sinless body, the agonizing suffering for every human sin. You and I have absolutely no idea. We are so selfish human beings, we actually at times don't care what Jesus went through. By our constant willful negligence and ignorance of who he is and what he has done. It's just very much like very spoiled, rebellious kids. Do they really sit down to think about the amount of suffering and the amount of responsibility and the amount of sacrifices mom and dad are doing for them? They are just every day, I want this. How come? How come I can't have this? They have an idea what it takes to bring this. And it's unfortunate that many of us Christians at times behave in the same self-centered, rebellious spirit toward Christ. I, with my own human mind, tried again and again to sit down and just reason the mammoth responsibility and the great, indescribable suffering, because I know what little suffering does to me.
Why?
I know how it feels. How can God becomes man and bear the suffering for every human being when I am reading the story about what Jesus has gone through in Gethsemane, that he could not stand in his human flesh, that he had to crash even prostrate on his face because he could not stand. That's how much the weight and the suffering of sin have been upon his heart and mind and body. He went flat prostrate in a state of prayer because he could not kneel, he could not stand. That is how much my own sins, your sins, and the sins of the world have impacted his human body. He had to lie down and pray, Lord, forgive them. I am here to die for them. And you know, with all of the depth of my understanding, it is still like a great mystery to me. But I like what Paul has said. And I want to take us to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 first. First Timothy, because the Apostle Paul have summarized his own knowledge of Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, in a very wonderful personal way that made some sense to me. And by these very words, I live. And my knowledge stems from these very words because it is very true, and that is what I believe. Listen to verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, there is no argument. You want to argue with me, the Apostle Paul? You go ahead. Go ahead. The world want to deny that, want to argue it, want to go into theological discussion over it. The Apostle Paul said, without any controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And that's what I'm trying to understand. Great is the mystery of godliness. Paul is saying God was manifested in the flesh. God became man. Justified in the spirit, born in and by the Holy Spirit, seen of angels who declared his glory and the glad tidings to mankind, preached unto the Gentiles by Jesus and by his apostles, believed on in the world. The name of Jesus is power, because it is through that name that millions and millions and millions of people in every city and in every village and in every country believed and experienced the power of change in which we belong. Have you experienced the power of the name of Jesus? The Apostle Paul said, it is very apparent, you can't deny it. I have experienced it. And God have used me, and I have seen it working in the life of many. And now we have a great church of God on earth. Paul is no longer with us. Peter is no longer with us. Jesus physically is no longer with us. But the Spirit of Christ is with us. And the church continued to thrive in the name of Jesus throughout all calamities. Because he said that even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, did you ever think of the gates of hell? What happens when a little fire starts next to you? You flee. You scream. You flee. Little fire. Imagine now, fire is coming, all of these doors here open up, and hell is coming in. And that is what Satan has done in every generation, tried to burn the Bible, tried to burn the heart and the mind and lives of God's people in order to see if he can diminish or eliminate the power of the name of Jesus. And he failed. And the Bible tells us that in the last days we are living in, all of this crisis in the world is the beginning of the gates of hell. It seems that creation, nature, and the world is going out of control. It seems that nations are going out of control. It seems that the love of God is waxing cold even in the heart of believers. So it's not my words. Those are the words of Jesus. The love for sin and the world and the things that destroys and doesn't satisfy seem to be taking heights. And the love of God seemed to be chilling cold. And Jesus already warned us in his word about the things that will cause that. And we have the same opportunities to believe or not to believe, to trust or not to trust, to obey or not to obey. But many people believed on the name of Jesus in the world, and that is the case today, and it will continue tomorrow. And then he was received up in glory. The Apostle Paul summarized the birth, the life, the ministry of Jesus in a wonderful, powerful way. I want us to go now to John the Beloved, who was very close to Jesus, who have seen and experienced Christ more than the Apostle Paul. in John chapter 1, John also give us some acquaintance with his experience as to who Jesus was and is to him. The fiscal year is coming to a close and a new year is about to begin. And I cannot live a day without beginning the day and ending the day with Jesus. Howbeit the week, howbeit the month, howbeit the year. You want to end the year with a very close knowledge and a very close connection and relationship with Jesus. And I tell you, if the devil has plans for you to go and party somewhere over the new year, remember, don't close the year and begin the new year with the devil.
Wow.
Okay. Be very careful. That may be the last bad decision you're about to make.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I often say that. You begin the day, you end the day, the week, the month, the year at the presence of Christ, and you begin the day and the week and the month and the year with Jesus.
Mm.
Makes a big difference of everything that will unfold after that. John here told us something about Christ. He said, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word was God, and Jesus was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You know, did you think of that? You and I were made by Jesus. Nothing on this earth was made by any other power but by the Lord Jesus Christ, God in heaven and God incarnate. Do you believe that?
I do.
Do you believe that every miraculous part of you has been fashioned and molded by the workmanship and the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ?
I do.
If you do, blessed art thou. Blessed art thou, because what we believe in determines the life we live.
Mm.
You know, because many people were getting sick, and I had it too, lots of people are talking to me about sickness in the last 3-4 weeks.
Mm.
And you know, I heard this comment from several individuals. I don't know, I've been doing everything right. What do you think of that statement? Is that true? Is that true?
No.
There is a problem in our system of faith. Who am I to say I have been doing everything right? If I have been doing everything right,
no.
I am sinless.
No.
I am righteous. I know everything around me. I know everything about me.
Right.
It is a statement of lie.
It's a statement of pride.
Very good. You know, it is one thing for me to say, I've been trying to protect myself.
That sounds bad.
But I know I'm a sinner. I must have done something wrong somewhere, or I have been with wrong people somewhere. I have made some mistakes somewhere, but I am very thankful because I know who made me.
Mm.
I know who made me. Nothing was made but by Jesus. So if I know who made me, I can always go to him and say, what went wrong?
Mm.
He is omniscient. He is the one who knows it all, not me. He is the omnipotent. He is the one who got the power to make and remake. He knows everything about my life by day and by night. He knows everything about the work of Satan. And you know, how can I answer anybody? If someone came to you and said, and many people who have problems in their relationship, I often hear that. Someone say, I'm doing everything right. Someone else is doing everything wrong. You know, no healing, no salvation will ever take place in our lives unless we know who we are. That is too much wrong faith in ourselves. Too much wrong faith in others, too much wrong faith in things. And we have to make the decision whether we want to live by this kind of faith or by faith in Jesus. If I have struggles to live faith in Jesus, then I have Jesus to communicate with over the matter. Isn't that true? And that is the reason why we are studying again about who Jesus is. Back to basic. I am so grateful, even though I don't believe that Jesus was born in December 25th.
Neither.
I don't believe that. But I'm very thankful that the nation tried to celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 25th. You know, it's a wonderful thing to close the year with some form of self-examination. Do you believe? And you know, many families are going through a lot. Separation, divorce, sickness, death. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing to have some time of reckoning with God at the end of the year. Where everyone get together and everyone in his home and his church, everywhere, really thinking, do I believe in Jesus, the Son of God? This is a topic that can never grow old. John here is telling us, if we believe that all things were made by him, then we have peace with God. Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name bring healing. Jesus, your name bring forgiveness. Jesus, your name restores. Jesus, your name gives life. It is not the food that gives life. Did you hear that? It is not the water that gives life. Definitely it's not work. It's not exercise. This does not give life because I don't know how many times I have to visit sick people who had all of the things once upon a time. Who gives life?
Jesus
gives life. He can bless everything. Our water, our food, our relationship, our worship, our hungry soul, our sick soul. Jesus, do you know him?
Yes.
And the power of his resurrection.
Yes.
And the fellowship of his suffering. And are you found in him blameless?
Not yet.
By him, all things were made. That is very comforting. Listen to verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. So everything about our lives and our families, the church, our nations and all nations, everything on heaven and on earth really is attached to the name of Jesus. He is life. He is life eternal. He is life in heaven. He is life on earth. He is life in the universe. And that is power. That is power. Jesus is life. And he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am what?
Life.
Life. How are you living?
Wow.
How am I living? Do I extract my life from things and from others? And can I give life to myself? Isn't that a question that most of us do not contemplate every day? Have you really decided to take the time? I'm going to kneel. I'm going to be opening my heart and pray for everything I feel, for everything I want, for all of my struggles. And I'm going to spend the time there praying for everybody else I know and all of their needs and struggles and hurts. Have you taken that? And have you tried to have a time of one-on-one communion with God?
And then if you have, what was your experience at the end of that? How was that day for you?
Pleasant.
Did you feel the same desire to go the wrong way, to find life? There is power. By beholding Him, we become changed. So if we want to be transformed from the sick-hearted sin of this world into the heart of righteousness, the heart of complete healing and forgiveness, then we need to behold Him. He is life. You know, I asked lots of people who like to read, why do you like to read? Sandra, you like to read a lot.
I love to read.
Why do you like to read?
Because I can escape my life into the book.
You are living someone else's experience.
Right.
It's a way of escape. I like the word used. I'm not saying that reading is bad. No, reading for knowledge is very good, and you can learn from other people's experiences. But are we living other people's experiences rather than choosing to have an experience with God on our own?
Yes, the Word of God.
So when I am reading the Bible,
yes,
it's a book. I am reading as other people experiences with one goal in mind.
Yes.
One goal in mind. Bible said, in whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, in whatsoever you do, do it for the glory of God. Did you see that?
Yes.
So when I say I have done everything right, have you done it for the glory of God or for the glory of yourself? And where did that take you? So when I read a book, I am reading to learn about how God is trying to save and bless man by the power of His love. And if that book is telling me about something else, I put it aside. If that book is teaching me about the wrong love, about the violent love, about everything in this world that really add to my own sickness, I put it aside. It is not for the glory of God. It's not for the glory of God. As I said before, many of our own troubles, if not all, it's because of our own choices and decisions. You know, I watched something on YouTube this week that got me sick.
Uh-oh.
You know, even though it is natural, it is part of life on earth. And I know that. And I've seen it before in my life. But as my heart grow closer to the heart of God, it become sick quicker when I see things that hurts. Whatever you do, whatever you see, whatever you do, do it for who?
God.
If you have done everything for the glory of God, so even if Satan touched you and hurt you, it's for your honor and glory. Because you've done everything for the honor and glory of God. And John is saying that He is life and He is the light of the world. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe faith again. And he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Who is the light of the world?
Jesus.
And he said, we are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who art in heaven. Really, when people see us and listen to us talking, are they seeing Christ?
Uh-oh.
Do they feel a desire to draw closer to Jesus or to the troubles of your life and your own needs?
Oh, wow.
You know, you heard that opposite attracts?
Yes.
What you have and what other people need. A need means they don't have it.
Oh.
A have means you have it.
No.
There's a negative and a positive.
Okay.
If both of us have Jesus in our heart, we are not going to be sick toward each other. We will understand our sinful nature, we will understand our needs, and we will understand when we succeed and when we fail, and we fully understand who alone can hold this together in Him. All of the troubles in relationship because of this philosophy. All of the troubles in relationship between children and parents because of that. Someone is missing the knowledge, the understanding, and the experience with the love of Jesus. If it's not there, it's going to always be a problem. Always be a problem. And Jesus inviting us to have that personal relationship with Him. John came to share the same message to all of us, and we have heard it, we have received it, and we have the responsibility to pass that to everybody else. That was the true light, Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We came into the world of sin, a world of darkness. The light of His righteousness and His love can dispel all darkness and the scars and the hurts of our own darkness within and without, and can show us the light of His joy even in this world of sin. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. That's just kind of deep philosophy. He was in the world. The world was made by Him, but the world didn't know Him.
Makes sense to me.
You know, think of that. Parents, you were here before your children. And you brought a child into the world, into your family. And the child grew up not to recognize you at all as parents. Does that make sense?
Yes and no. It doesn't really make any sense with what's happening now.
Very good. Physically and socially, children acknowledge they have parents. Down in the heart, by their own choices, decision, and behavior, they deny the existence of the parents. Self-centeredness, the love of self, is very deadly. You know, I visited a family this week and the week before where the teenager is talking to his mom and telling her how stupid she is. Say, you're stupid and losing your mind. Wow. Is that child acknowledging that he has a parent?
No.
The child really think at all it was this mom who carried him in her womb for 9 months.
Wow. No.
And went through all of the pain and the ache trying to eat the right thing, getting up at night, 9 months. Do you understand what John is trying to say? That He made the world, He came to this world, the very people whom He have made rejected Him.
Don't you recognize Him?
The ultimate level of self-centeredness. The ultimate level. And who would like to have a child like that? But you know what's amazing? It was a very hard situation for me. Mm-hmm. I am sitting there listening to words of destruction, words of hurt, words of pain. I am listening to the child. The child is expressing nothing but his own self-centered emotions. And I am looking at the mother to see how is she taking it. And I can feel and sense the pain of her heart. There are two pains in the mother's heart. Can you tell what they are?
One from the child and one from her because she doesn't know what to do.
Is a true mother's pain toward the child coming from self-centeredness? The mother knows that if her son showed such great level of dishonor and disrespect to her, what he will be doing to others?
True.
How will he survive on this earth? What trauma? So now she is living with two pains. The pains of her child having such a hard heart to dishonor and to disrespect her love. And the other pain is the great fear of what will happen to her child. Double pain, double blows. Do you see how Jesus looked at us? He came to his own and his own received him not. Listen, he came to save us, didn't he?
Yes.
He came to bless us with every good gift. He came to give us every need, to fight our every battle. He has borne our every suffering. Born. See how a mother bore her child in, and then the child comes out. She carries him day and night,
yes.
Try to bathe him,
yeah.
Clean him,
yeah.
Try to feed him.
Try
to take him to the doctor and attend to his needs, even though she doesn't understand baby language. But she can feel the needs of her child. With Jesus, who have borne our sins and iniquities and still bear them. Do we know him?
Mm.
Are we denying him in our lives by our decisions? And what on this earth can really separate us from that love of Jesus?
Mm. Only ourselves.
Only ourselves.
And the things that the world offers us. You know, Satan never make us do it. Right? Our weaknesses, our needs, the temptations of this world. And you know, again, as a loving mother and father, regardless of how many times children make mistakes, the love of a parent to the child, I'm talking about true godly parents here,
yes.
Is forever. It's forever. A pastor stood one day during the holiday and held a very brand new $20 bill.
Mm.
And he said, okay, I want to ask a question. How many of you would like to have this dollar bill? Every hand went up. Said, are you sure? He said, yes. And he got it and kind of crumbled in his hand and said, okay, how many of you still want this $20 bill? All hands went up. And he got it more and turned it and tossed it and really made it look so ugly and threw it on the ground. Said, how many of you still want this $20 bill? All hands went up. He said, are you sure? So he moved with his leg and stepped on it and turned it. I said, how many of you still want this $20 bill?
And everybody's hand went up.
You know how much the $20 bill have been crumbled, have been stampeded, have been messed up, have looked so ugly.
Oh.
It did not lose its value.
That's right.
How much we have messed up our lives. How much we have messed up our traits of character. How much we crumbled under sin in a world of sinner. God still loves us and
yes.
Still see our values.
Amen.
But we can only become valuable when we do like everybody else. I want Jesus still. Because Jesus loves me still. I don't lose my value until I decide to burn it up. Until I decide I no longer want to be valuable in and through Christ. You wanted your own proudful way? You can have it. That's exactly how many people are not going to make it to heaven. The Apostle Paul said, it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. He did not say, my gifts and my talents in me is my... Is that what he said?
No.
He said, Christ in me. And we have read this verse this morning in Galatians 2:20. He said, oh, my sinful nature, I cannot stand every day. I have been crucified with Christ. He has borne every agonizing suffering for my every sin and temptation and for my all follies. Nevertheless, I live. If I have been crucified, if I was supposed to die for my sin, yet I'm still here. Valuable. Yet not I. It's not I that live. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the filthy flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me.
Amen.
So therefore he said, what are you and I living for? And that is the point that John is trying to bring to us. He's trying to tell us it is God that has made us and we did not make ourselves. Therefore, we're valuable. Even though we can trash the gift God has given us. But because he is life, he can revive it again. You know, many kids got gifts during these holidays. And in one of those Christmases, I found a kid who got a helicopter. And, you know, went outside to fly the helicopter, crashed it. Came down, fell apart. And when the helicopter crashed and fell apart, the child fell apart.
I'm sure I can imagine.
And the child began to cry and scream, and you can tell it, very angry. Oh, Daddy, you know. Very, very angry.
Oh.
You know, the dad had a mechanical mind. And he said, that's okay, it's okay. Okay. And he felt there is no more hope for a helicopter. He said, why don't you go inside and see what other gifts God has given you. And let us see what you have. So it took him a while to really forget about the helicopter. And went to play with the other toys. Little that he knew that Dad was with the helicopter inside the garage. Fixing things up. And by the grace of God, the child woke up in the morning after breakfast. And he told his dad, you know, I'm very sad that I lost the helicopter. And Dad said, let us go outside together. And Dad went into his trunk, the truck where he had the helicopter hidden. And got the helicopter out. And he started to work it again. You should have seen the face of the child. As if nothing had ever happened. Did he waste lots of time crying and weeping and mourning?
Yes.
And he was telling his mom. He was telling his neighbors. Dad fixed it. There is no damage in our life that we have caused by our own willful decision that Jesus cannot fix.
Amen.
But what is required is faith.
Yes.
Trust and obey. You take yourself to Jesus with all of your hurt, with all of your struggle, with all of your follies and failures over every sin. If we find value in a $20 bill that has been crashed, crumbled, twisted, thrown to the ground, stepped upon. If we have such value in that, how do you value yourself in Jesus? I know how Jesus values me, but how do you value yourself in Christ? It's all about our self-value that leads us in all the decisions that we are making on this earth. How do we feel about ourselves determines how do we feel about others and how we feel about things. Is our value driven by our own self-deception about who we are? Do you know what pride is? What pride is?
Is it fear?
I like that. Pride is nothing but fears and insecurities. And then it reached a moment of mental illness because you began to feel in your own mind, I am in control of everything that is beyond your control. That's what pride is. Because I'm afraid to be hurt, I'm going to lie about it.
Right.
I feel so insecure in some areas of life, and I want to believe there is a sense of significance and value to me. I want to feel so valuable, so therefore I have to reach to people, to different things, to do things, to become a social chameleon, everything that I can. And to talk big. Right? That's where pride comes from. Therefore, you know, when people come and say bad things about me, if I get hurt, what is the problem?
You have a real problem.
I have problems of insecurities. And I have fears. If I let them say that about me, they're going to continue to put me down.
Right.
Put what down? My value down.
The ego.
Now, isn't that a serious problem?
Right.
Does really what people think and say determine my value, or my value is already set? If my value is set by Jesus, however the world see me, crumbled, dirty, stepped upon, nothing, I still have value in Jesus. But the beauty of belief in Jesus, that Jesus take the old and give us the new. He began the process of rehabilitation. Change of the heart, the mind, the soul, the knowledge, how you make decisions, how you see yourself, how you see others. Because as I said before, all of us are sinners. I don't see anyone more valuable than anybody. I see all of us are valuable to Jesus. But how valuable we truly are is determined by everyone. I cannot determine that what the value of Sandra is. Sandra can determine that. I know that she is valuable, but as to her own whole value, is determined by Sandra and Jesus alone. And my responsibility as a human being, if I discovered my value in Jesus, and if I feel the strength and the power of His presence in my life, is to help others recognize that in their life. That is my mission. That is your mission. So, you cannot help anybody else recognize their value unless you have discovered your own value in Jesus. If it's all about you, you're going to be messing up other people's life. If it's all about Christ in you, God will bless your life even as a struggling sinner. You know, the pastor picked up that thing that was completely smashed. He took it back up and he opened again. Thank God that it was not torn up.
Right, he had a loose tape.
You know, he opened again. And it began to look slowly but surely as a $20 bill again.
Wow.
And you know, he opened it slowly. You couldn't see a $20 bill. But slowly but surely, it became a $20 bill. Even though it does not look pretty.
Right.
But it has its complete value. Not more, not less. And the pastor decided to go home and do some cosmetic surgery. He had his own liquid and everything. And he surprised the congregation.
Wow.
The next week he came to preach. That dollar bill did not even appear as it was crushed even once.
Wow.
I said, that's what Christ does with our lives. If you truly daily, morning, noon, and night, have I prayed unto you, Lord Jesus, you know, do not let this year close without recognizing your true value in Christ. And do not let the new year begin by not recognizing your true value in Christ. Do not allow other people and things to set your own value. Where you are in the process, are you still crumbled? Are you still think that the devil and the world is really stepping on you? Where are you in the process? You are still valuable. Your value is still complete. It's a matter of how it will be repaired and be restored back to their original state, that Allah may see your good works and glorify your Father who art in heaven. That's going to be the study of our next week. We're going to enter into the power of transformation. I didn't say it. I want to read verses 11 and 12 and stop there. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's quite sad. Mm-hmm. But here's verse 12. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. But as many as received him,
yes,
to them gave he power,
yes,
to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Did you hear that?
Yes.
As many as received him, to them give he power to become the shining sons and children of God, even to them that believe on his name. His name is power. He is truly a savior. He can take a very dirty piece of money that have been stamped upon, that have been spit upon, that doesn't look like anything of value. He can take us in our sinful condition the way we are,
yes,
if we believe that he is Savior.
Yes.
He is a Redeemer. He restored back the value of that which was lost. Because he that is in Christ is a new creature.
Yes.
All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Yes.
Because God reconciled us back with him.
Yes.
And if he is Savior and Redeemer, he is physician and healer. No one can mend a broken body but the one who created it.
Yes.
No one can heal a bruised heart, a heart that has been broken and hurt. No one can transform a very dark mind but the one who created them.
Yes.
And no one can strengthen and make the body beautiful again,
wow,
but the one who made it. And no one can give a much better joyous purpose in life that give us great sense of value,
yes,
more than the one who created us. He is the God of life. He is power. He is the Prince of Peace.
Yes.
He is the Lord of Lords.
Mm.
Okay? He is the Almighty God. This means now that we are his, we are protected by his might. In the inward part, in the outward part, by day and by night. Everywhere we are, everywhere we go, his presence goes with us.
Yes.
Because he is Emmanuel. God is with us.
Yes.
And if God be with us, no powers of darkness and destruction can stand against us, but to them that believed on him. Give he the power to become the children of God. We're going to be talking more about this power, how we can attain it, how it works in us, how it continues with us, and what does it accomplish in us every day and throughout the days of our life next week. This power is the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
It does not come upon us when we are proud.
Mm.
Satan knows the Bible. Not because I know the Bible, the Spirit of God is in me. I can have the same power of Satan who used the Bible to see if he can get what he wants from Jesus. Be careful. Just be careful. We don't play that game. That power is the Holy Spirit. How does it work? Where does it come from? How do I know whether it is in me or it is not? And how can I remain connected to that power? It takes a lot to lose the power of the Holy Spirit. Every day this week, I pray that you pray along with me, that the Holy Spirit take hold of your heart and mind today. Be very careful about the decision you're about to make at the close of the year. Listen to the Word of God and take counsel of the Word of God, and make sure you are in the company of God's people by the power of the Holy Spirit. Make sure you begin the year also in the presence of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. If I have been impressed to tell you that, you better take it to heart and don't test the Holy Spirit. Okay? God has given us advice today. Every day we need to be very close to the heart of Christ, and we need to be the light of the world. So we will have opportunity, whether you are at work, whether you're at home, whether you are with friends in church, make sure the presence of God is with you and the Holy Spirit in complete control of our heart and mind and soul. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we stand together? Our holy God and heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our physician and healer, our almighty God, the Prince of all peace. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being all things that we are, and all things in the universe, and all things that we need. May your Holy Spirit take over our heart, our mind, our body and souls, our love, our will, our life and our purpose, and make it wholly thine. May you fight our every battle against sin within and sin without. May you deliver us from every known and unknown evil and from the evil one. May you grant us the knowledge and the wisdom in all choices and decisions. And Lord, we are prone to wander. I'm prone to fall. We know that you are Lord. May your Spirit dwell in us, and may your almighty hand stretch forth toward us. For we will hold to that hand forever and ever. But make us also of the same blessing of heaven to our friends, our families, to our neighbors, and to everyone you bring our way, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.